$250 after your first 10 deliveries with Uber Eats. That's right, an extra $250 on top of all the other cash you'll make during those first 10 deliveries. If that sounds good, visit t.uber.com/extra250. Uber Eats, deliver with us. Limited time offer, terms apply. See t.uber.com/extra250 for more details.
Dad, guess what?
What?
You are going to be a grandfather.
That's great. You're going to be a wonderful mom. And I can't wait to be a grandpa. Not too long ago, moments like this with my daughter would have been a challenge. It was a long road for me to find myself again after Vietnam. I struggled to connect with almost everyone and preferred being alone. It was my neighbor Jim, another Vietnam veteran, who finally convinced me that I could still connect with my family and find that fulfilling life I'd lost. In fact, I called Jim first with the news about my granddaughter, Lizzie. Hey, Jim, I'm going to be a grandfather.
Congratulations, Dave.
Hey, let's get together and celebrate.
Well, as long as you're not grilling.
My pride was my armor, but I didn't know it then. I couldn't put it into words. I was sad, was scared, I felt alone. I didn't know how to reach out, so I hid behind anger and silence. But then I decided to listen to Jim, and I went for help down at the VA. If I can take that first step after almost 50 years, I know other veterans can too. Visit MakeTheConnection.net to find out more.
This is ESPN Radio.
Two-time Super Bowl champion, Torrey Smith.
Good morning, good morning.
Carmelo Anthony, future Hall of Famer.
The NBA thinks that is the right thing to do. Hey, it's the right thing to do.
Jay Wright joins us.
I love the crew, man.
Good morning, Patrick Ewing.
Good morning, Greeny.
Drew Pearson joining us.
And I answered the door. Mr. David Baker saying that you have been selected as the newest member for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Jerome Bettis, the bus.
Obviously, everybody looks at Carson Wentz and thinks he's possibly toxic.
Dr. J, Julia Serving.
Good morning, Greeny.
Plexico Burress, former New York Giants Super Bowl champion.
Who was a better wide receiver, you or Key?
Me, I ain't scared of Key.
Kentucky men's basketball coach John Calipari.
Kids are coming together.
Miles Turner, the Indiana Pacers.
I'm finally at the point of my career, fellas, where I can just laugh at stuff like this.
Warren Moon to Keyshawn Johnson.
Keyshawn, we missed each other at West LA Junior College, too, because I was there before you.
Yeah, but you was way, way, way.
The biggest names in sports are here, and it all starts weekday mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day. This is ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
It is hour number three of the Sports Hangover. Got plenty to get into as always. We like to start the hour on this day of the week with the little Rebecca Black.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Partying, yeah.
It is the weekend, an absolutely gorgeous start to the weekend, weather-wise. Oh, and, you know, some big-time basketball coming up tonight. 6 o'clock right here in your home for Pelicans basketball. Todd Raffanini, John DeShazer will have the call. Daniel Salison will get things started at 5:30. The Pelicans warm-up, Pels at the 76ers. Game 1 of 5 straight on the road. 1.5 games behind the Spurs. Everyone's trying to get into the play-in game. We'll talk about this game a little bit more. And also, do players really like it or not? We know LeBron and them don't. I love it. We've talked to a few people already today on the show that like it here as well. Let's bring in Mr. Corey Brewer. He's joined us during March Madness, and he joins us again here, two-time national champ for the Gators and now part of the Pelicans player development program as well. Corey, thanks for joining us this afternoon on a game day, man. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, for sure, man. Be sure to follow Corey on Twitter at the Corey Brewer. Corey, let's just start there because I want to play. Here's Najee Marshall from yesterday after practice. And, you know, he was asked about not only obviously getting that contract, which I'll ask you about his growth so far since he's been here as well, but it's what he had to say about the play-in situation as well, which I think was interesting in terms of I love the attitude of it.
Wanted to go home, basically. I love it, you know. Odds all against us right now. We won game out of the play-in.
You know, for the most part, all of our games are away. Now it's time for us to go get it. You know, these kind of moments we live for in basketball. You just want to compete, especially me. I'm a competitor. I just want to compete at every moment. So I'm really loving this space we're in right now, and I'm looking forward to it.
Corey, take us into the locker room, man. How is this play-in scenario playing out the players?
For our guys, we're trying to take it one game at a time. That's all you can do right now. We can only control what we can control, and that's what we have to win. And it is. We got to take it a game at a time. We win the next game, we look to the next game. But like now you said, you got to win. If you're a competitor, you love the situation. You control your own fate if you can get as many wins as you can and try to get into play.
Corey, you spent time in the league, man. Would you have liked this, you know, when you played? And do you like this as a former player?
To be honest, it just depends what position you're in, if you like it or don't like it. I remember one year I was the seventh seed, and I probably wouldn't want to have a play-in game if I'm the seventh seed getting in the playoff. But, hey, right now I'm coaching with the Pels, and we're trying to get the 10th seed to get into play-in, so I love it.
See, Corey, what I look at, too, is when you look at the standings and why I think it works for this is I know there was a concern for a while, right, about tanking and players just sitting out the rest of the year or what have you. It breaks the standings into what I think, Corey, is three groups. You have the teams that want to finish 1-4 because you have home court. Then you have the teams, as you just mentioned, that are 5-6. That's Dallas and the Lakers right now. And Luke and LeBron have come out and said, we don't want that. Then you got 7-10 that are playing as well. So it breaks it into three groups. And Corey, it makes every game important. Every game. Because you look at the teams the Pelicans are playing from here on out, they need to win too. You look at all the teams that the Spurs are playing, they need to win too. You know, when they're facing San Antonio. So I don't know how they got it right, but they got it right to me because the next 2 weeks, every game, both teams on the court need to win.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They definitely got it right this year, especially with everything going on. It's going to be a competitive last 2 weeks of the season. It's going to be lots of teams trying to win, if it's for positioning or just to get into playing. So teams are going to be really ready to go. It's going to be some good basketball, I think.
Speak with Corey Brewer with the Pelicans Player Development Program. You know, one of the things that stood out, or I guess was said a lot about you when you were playing in the NBA, Corey, and also at Florida, but, you know, when you played was that competitive nature. I mean, you brought it on the defensive side. You were always engaged, to say the least. When you are in a situation like this where it's do or die, you hear Najee say, Alonzo said he got to go 1-0 every game. Is it taxing? How do you get yourself into that sort of mental state? And is it something that you get better at the more you do? Because that's why I like this. This is almost like a baby playoff run for the team, even if they don't make it.
Yeah, for sure. It is kind of like a playoff run for a young team like us. It's good for us to be playing for something, and especially late in the season like this. So it is getting you ready for the playoffs or getting you ready for the future. So we need all development we can get, and playing in big games, we got to learn to win big games. So every game from now on is a big game for us. So I feel like you don't have to get up. You don't have to do anything to get guys up for these games. They should be up because anybody who loves basketball, anybody who's competitive at all, and you know you got to win the next game, they're going to be ready to go.
Head coach Stan Van Gundy, a couple weeks back when he gave the game ball to Najee Marshall, said that this is a guy that you never have to worry about energy, focus, and all that. And that day he gave him the game ball, he was really one of the guys really responsible for that victory. Kind of tell us, as a former player and then also as a coach on this team, what's it like when the organization rewards a player like that? And to see a guy that works his way onto New Orleans' roster, then gets the opportunity on the court, takes advantage of it, now gets a deal, man.
That's great. When you see a guy work his tail off every day and just see him develop and get better each day, and showing that the work is actually working. Like, the work he's putting in, he's going on the court, and it's showing. Like, he's getting results. It's amazing.
I want to ask you something. General D just texted me this, and he wants to know as well, because there's a lot of excitement about not just next season, obviously moving forward, but a lot of these young guys that the Pels sort of have, including what Najee can maybe progress. Have you gotten a chance to work with, talk to, get to know Diddy? I know he just came over from being overseas down under, but there's a lot of excitement about maybe how his game sort of developed playing, you know, every day in Australia.
Yeah, Didi's going to be really good for us. He's another one of those guys who really can help us on the defensive end, another long wing. And I've talked to him, and he's really excited to be here, and we're really excited to have him. We just need him to come in and just be ready to go, and whatever he can bring, we're waiting for it.
I know a lot of times when we say young players, it's a year or two, but Lonzo Ball's still young, isn't he, Corey? I mean, how Coach Van Gundy's touched on his shot improving, his understanding improving here as well, too, the last three games, 30-plus point performances. But how tough is it, tell me, as a former player, to have a performance like Monday, text the team, say, hey, I got you back next, you know, the next time, which is the next day, and come out and put 30-plus points, man. What does that say about him to you?
It says a lot. It says he's maturing, and it also says, you know, he's a young guy who's getting better. And he's had some big games for us this year, and he's only going to get better. And, man, that was a crazy performance he had, but the way he bounced back. Because, you know, you have a bad game, and you're thinking about it. You got to come back. You put pressure on yourself to play well, and he does play well. And he's gonna be huge for us down the stretch. And we need him to be big tonight and every night after.
Speaking about tonight and who needs to be big, Corey, sometimes players get that opportunity. You don't ever want it to be because of injury, but no Steven Adams, no Brandon Ingram. So that means guys like Billy Hernan Gomez and another young guy that is, you know, trying to help this team. Guy like Lonzo, maybe others that have to somehow come up with the 17 to 25 points that B.I. can put in. How can some of these young players, you think, go into a situation like this knowing that they have to, you know, perform like that? And do you have confidence that this team has players like that?
Oh, I definitely have confidence. I think guys just have to understand that we're missing one of our top guys. So everybody has to pitch in, and everybody has to come and play their best game tonight. And I think that's what guys are going to do. They're going to be ready to go, and it's time to win or go home.
Corey, when you look back at that first meeting between these two teams, wasn't that long ago? What stood out to you? I mean, obviously Zion out is 37. Joel wasn't his normal self, but was it something that the Pels did? Is it something that you guys talked about in focus to try to get him to have such a tough shooting night? And is that the key to make his night tough?
Oh, for sure. We wanted to make it tough on him. Everything he got, we wanted to make it tough. I think we did a good job of that. And tonight has to be the same type of game plan. And for us, it's just the focus about getting stops on the defense end and pushing the ball and making plays.
Has it excited you to see, as Stan Van Gundy's mentioned, since the All-Star break, you guys have gone from, 27th to 6th in defense? Obviously, the offensive numbers, when you don't have Nall, when you don't have Lonzo in some games, and I mean, you don't have the shooting, it's going to affect offensively, but can you tell us, like, behind the scenes how hard this team actually has worked? Because that's a heck of a jump, right? 27 to 6 is a pretty big jump here.
Yeah, it's a huge jump. I think it's a credit to Coach Van Gundy, you know, just putting it in these guys' heads that we got to defend if we want to have a chance at all. And guys are responding. We're out there defending and doing the things we got to do to get wins.
Is it easy to play defense in this league?
It's not easy, but you know, you have to have a mentality to play defense in this league. Cause so many good players. So every night you have to have the mentality that you have to come out and play hard, know your schemes, and be ready to get stopped.
And that's what I was getting at, Corey, is that I think a lot of times us media or fans go like, go out there, go defend them, go play there. Obviously, these guys are really good offensively on this level. So I guess give me how you would fill a pie chart here. What makes a good defensive player? Obviously, what is it, physical skills, knowing that player, film study? How much does all of that go into creating you to be able to get a stop at a key moment in the game?
Definitely. You got to have the physical skills, but you also have to have a defensive mentality. You got to want to play defense, and you got to know the schemes that the team is working on, and you got to know your opponent. You got to know what the guy wants to do, what he likes to do, and what his team wants to do. And you just have to put it all together when you're out there on the court. Everything's happening fast, but you got to be really focused.
got another question from a caller that wanted me to ask you about Kyra Lewis. Have you seen him perhaps hit like a rookie wall? Is it lack of minutes in terms to where you kind of get some sort of cohesiveness going in, or just how some of the games are sometimes with him?
Just how some of the games are with him. You know, he's a young guy. He's only 19 years old. I think maybe he just turned 20, but he's just a kid, you know.
Right.
So each game he's getting better, no matter what. If he has a good game or a bad game, he's getting better because he gets to see what's going on out there, how teams are playing, and what he needs to work on. So for him, it's great. As long as he's getting minutes and getting a chance to play, he's only going to get better, and he's going to be great in the future.
Corey, what's the key tonight for the Pelicans to win?
We got to play defense. Got to get stops. Our offense hasn't been great, but we scored enough points to win. So it's all about us getting stops, getting enough stops to win.
All right, be honest with me. It's the final thing for you, man. It hasn't been that long since you've been on an NBA court playing on a team. How hard is it when you see the calendar? It's early May, it's April, and you know the playoffs are around the corner. You still get that desire, that itch, man?
Oh, for sure. Always, man. It's just, I just stopped playing, so I definitely still have the itch.
Right.
Especially right before the playoffs, because this is the best time of the year. You're getting ready, trying to sharpen things up and trying to get ready to go make a run in the playoffs.
I was going to say, right, Corey, and I lied. Now this is the final question. There's nothing like playoff basketball, man. I remember when the Hornets first moved here, and I just told the story because today's the 19-year anniversary of Allen Iverson with just, the practice. We talk about practice, quote. But, dude, seeing him in the playoffs, I've never seen anybody that fast before. And just the regular season games to postseason games, it's not even close. I mean, every possession was different. The style of play, how hard everybody plays. I know the NFL has great playoffs, but NBA playoff basketball, it's just fun to watch, man. It honestly is.
Oh, for sure, because every game matters and everybody's locked in, and it's what it's all about. The goal is to win that series, so guys are going to play their best basketball when the playoffs start.
Go give Corey a follow on Twitter, at the Corey Brewer. Sir, look forward to talking to you again, man. Thanks for joining us today on a game day and give us a little bit of your time.
Oh, yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Yep, for sure. 5:30 p.m., Pelicans pregame with Daniel Salerson. 6 o'clock, Todd and JD will have the call right here on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Marlon Favorite next.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Hey, I'm Timmy the Termite. You may think my voice sounds funny, but you won't be laughing when me and thousands of my super hungry buddies eat your house and cause thousands of dollars in damage. Now that's funny!
Termites are here and they're hungry. You better call Terminex and local experts Dan and Billy Foster, the Bayou Boys, before it's too late. Don't let termites eat you out of house and home. Call Terminex today.
They'll get you, Terminex tough.
Hey, New Orleans, this is Nate Osborne, head coach of the NOLA Gold, your Major League Rugby team.
Hey, New Orleans, it's Carl Mayer of your NOLA Gold rugby team. The 2021 Major League Rugby season is here.
In the Shrine on Airline, now called the Gold Mine.
The Gold Mine is COVID conscious, so you can spread out around the stadium to enjoy the hard-hitting, non-stop action of Major League Rugby, filled with world-class players.
And mate, the best part is that our season tickets are about the same price as one game in other pro sports. Check us out at nolagoldrugby.com or just call 50 Rugby.
Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengill from Men's Total Health, and last year I paid them a visit at the clinic. It's in Metairie on Vets behind the Fidelity Building on Ferran. I went to get tested and see if I had low T and to get an overall look at my health. Low T can cause insomnia, brain fog, and overall self-confidence issues. Go get tested. On-site labs give you the results that visit. So with the new year, resolve to get back to being the old you. Hormone balance can help you be your best self. They accept all major insurances, so visit menstotalhealth.net today and let them know the Sports Hangover sent you.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill
Marlon Favorite at Big Fave 504 is the way to follow over on Twitter. Inside the Trenches, the podcast. Marlon, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, dude. Babe, how you making out on this beautiful Friday?
Dude, absolutely beautiful. All I know is this. Are you doing any extra cardio, anything? I know you do stuff with the NOLA Gold. Tomorrow, NOLA Gold 3:30, Houston Sabercats. But before then and during then, crawfish boil. How many pounds of crawfish are you putting down tomorrow over there at the Gold Mine on Airline?
Oh, well, Coach Nate and Tim Falcon, all them know I'm going to need about a good 4 or 5 pounds just to start, y'all.
Four to five? Come on now. No, my wife and I get 15, dude. Come on. Now that's, we crush some crawfish now. So I'm expecting someone like you. I'm going 10 at least, huh? You can put down 10.
Well, I'm planning on wearing my gorilla muscles t-shirt tomorrow. Right. And I don't want my belly poking out too much. So if I go to
I see. Yeah. I got you. They gave me a couple of NOLA Gold jerseys. They're snug. They're made to not be able to pull, though. I understand the reason behind it, right? I mean, Marlon, did you ever, like, do any taping or anything to make sure that offensive lineman couldn't grab your jersey? What did you do to make sure that jersey was as close to your pads as possible?
Gus, you just nailed it, man. We used to tape our pads, our jerseys onto our pads. Because those offensive linemen, and they know they love to hold. So that gives you an opportunity to, A, be able to not get held, and B, you know, look a little snug, man. Only thing with tape, you know, it's like a tape to my belly and all. That's crazy.
Okay. I was making sure. Yeah, I know that. Obviously, those jerseys are like that. But anyway, yeah, 3:30 tomorrow, Gold Mine on Airline should be fun. I love Coach Nate Osborne, man. He was talking about you know, Feed the Chicken, one of their players. Do you remember in your days of playing at LSU or in the NFL, a nickname for a player, offense or defense, that basically said, hey, if this guy is hot, you got to continue to feed him, send him on the blitz, or an offense, keep giving him the football. Anybody else have a weird name like the Chicken?
The cat, man, Allie Cat, bro. Allie Broussard. We used to always be screaming on the sideline, man, get a ball to the cat, baby. Get a ball to the cat. Allie Broussard off of LSU was dogs, man, I tell you. So we used to nickname him the Allie Cat.
Okay, there you go. Makes sense. Yesterday on Matt Moscone after further review, TJ Finley, who entered the transfer portal, was on at 3:30. Your thoughts on that? Chris Blair said, look, he's not a huge fan of the transfer portal because when things get tough, he doesn't want it to be an easy avenue for players to sort of go. But he felt in this case, it was probably best for everybody. The quarterback room is super deep. He got a chance to play. Max comes in. He gets 2 wins. And, you know, he's seeing, you know, one quarterback's healthy. A couple other quarterbacks have come in, Nussmeier and stuff. Was it the right thing, or would you have liked to see TJ stay in Baton Rouge?
Well, personally, I would have loved to have him stay in Baton Rouge. But just knowing the nature of the business and the nature of the beast nowadays with the players, NCAA football is the NFL now. It's professional sports. You have to make the best decision for your future. Mm-hmm. I was watching the draft, and PJ Finn was probably watching the draft too, because I saw Mr. Boss Man Fett, also known as Calvin Dozier, get drafted in the second round to the one of the greatest organizations of all time, right? The Dallas Cowboys, right? So, so anyway, this is a guy that jumped in the transfer portal, ended up in Kentucky, had a solid 2 seasons, and boom, he's living his dream in the NFL. And more players are thinking like that. They're saying, I love where I'm at here. It's not, because it's business on both sides. This is the first time in the history of forever where players actually had some leverage. So I think that's fair game. I think it's more than right for players to have an opportunity to not only make a decision, but make what's best for them. If Fat stays there, you had Greedy Williams. You had Christian Fulton. He wasn't going to get that solidified lockdown position as the cornerback. But you go to an SEC school like Kentucky, you play against the same talent, you get those same looks, and then boom, now you're cooking with high grease. And I think more players – PJ probably had that in mind. Like, this kid is talented. I was talking with Stingley Sr. a few weeks ago, who was doing some training, and And I was talking to him. I was like, man, how everybody look in spring? Because I hadn't went there yet. He said, I can tell you right now, TJ Finley has the most professional-ready arm on the team. And I'm like, whoa. And that's no disrespect to everybody. He's like, Max Johnson was getting most of the reps. So that little bit of information right there just let me know, okay, this is one of those situations where we're going to possibly see more guys, you know, jump into that transfer portal and go other places. So we just got to, you know, well, not we, Coach Ed Ogeron, his staff, he's just going to have to do the best job at just re-recruiting guys, I feel like, every day.
When you look at where he could possibly go and where do you think they could be fits, do you think he stays in conference? There's other big conferences as well in the Power Five. I just texted to you. I mean, obviously, I think there'll be interest everywhere, but, man, the first thing that popped in my head was, you know, the Cajuns, UL, man, with Billy Napier and that program there. He could go in and just be a beast with that program goes and what Coach Napier's been able to do, you know?
Yeah, Gus, I like that. When you said that, I didn't think that was a bad one. When we were texting, I told you he may end up somewhere in state. Tulane has an answer at quarterback, and there's UL right there. I think at UL it's a good fit. He is a home team. He is a home body kid. So you have his mom and dad. He's used to seeing his family at the game. So you go to UL, he's going to shine, he's going to get the looks. Lindsey Scott, he ended up at Nickel State. So you have that familiarity staying home. It's also other good fits for TJ. I'm pretty sure the phones are going off the charts. Because look at this, Gus. Last year he played. He started, I want to say, four or five games last year. And when he had that big test up against Alabama, that's when stuff kind of started getting a bit more rocky for him, right? But like the NFL, that gave him film. So here's a freshman who played the year after LSU won a national championship, right, and he was able to compete in the SEC. So I think that gives him a little leeway in this free agency, a.k.a. transfer portal.
It's interesting because I'll ask you that. Because obviously you didn't have that to an extent in your time, and things obviously were different. You got a chance to play for a national championship and got a chance to get on the field and stuff. But do you think, when you look back at it from your first year to your last year in Baton Rouge, that maybe you or some of your teammates maybe would have taken advantage of this? Can you think of any instance?
Oh, absolutely. I think these kids are at such an advantage. Back then that was unheard of. Like, it was really a Tremaine Johnson, right? It was really a Charles Alexander. It was really a Raheem Alem. It was really a Truth Be Told, hello somebody, Marlon Fabright. Guys who may have to split rotation on that defensive line, because we rotated so much. But Glenn Dorsey and Tyson Jackson never came out of the game.
Right.
Rick, you see what I'm saying? So
yeah,
that stuff played a part because I broke the sack record for the New Orleans Voodoo because I never came out the game. I was featured in the Voodoo's defense. We were rotational starters at LSU. So, to be honest with you, Gus, I probably would have. I might have transferred to a school because at the end of the day, the end game, the goal is to make it to the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. But that was just unheard of in our time. Guys stuck it out when we played. And I can't judge these kids for doing this now because it's a different ball game.
Right.
It's a totally different ball game. You have to. The name of the game is it's a business. The state of Georgia just passed a law to where these guys can start getting paid now. So it's business at the end of the day, and if you're sitting on the bench or you're not getting a substantial amount of playing time, you got to make the business decision.
Makes a lot of sense, obviously, I think, from that perspective when you look at it like that in terms of from the player's side, you know, I want to go play now and get that experience and do so. How about, though, on the other side of how hard is it now then to maybe plan and build depth? Look, what are the things that we look at, you know, when Tua came in, right, for, you know, in the national championship game at halftime and made plays and, you know, for Jalen Hurts and did that. But you had to have, I guess, that depth. You know, what if, you know, TJ Finley that kind of leaves and maybe can't come in later this year or something of that nature. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of hard to plan for depth then all of a sudden if that sort of happens, or is that just the world we live in now? You got to almost maybe over-recruit to try to prepare and plan for that at certain areas?
Yes. The transfer portal is a real thing, Gus. Like, literally, we had Eric Gilbert come here, go Tigers. Before the year was over, he was out. It's a game. It's a difference. We're in a different state of mind, these young men nowadays. So, good luck to Pete Davis. Come from a great family. Me and him have a lot of similarities. Playing for Coach Hank Tierney together. And, man, I wish this kid the best. He's going to light it up, for sure.
Marlon Favorite, I promise there'll be enough crawfish tomorrow at the Gold Mine on Airline, even if Marlon gets his hands on him. As always, man, appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk Monday.
Man, you do the same. Y'all go get gorillahair.com, baby. Y'all can really learn.
For sure. Quick visit with Daniel Salerson next on ESPN New Orleans.
She's got the look. She's got the look. She's got the look. She's got the look. What in the world?
Louisiana is one of the most special places on earth. We love to be outdoors. Here we greet each other with hugs and handshakes. It's our nature. This is Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser urging you to go against your nature and stay at home. Follow the shelter-in-place order, wash your hands, and observe social distancing. Now, crawfish boil in your backyard with 24 of your closest friends goes against all that. So don't do it. We're going to come out of this stronger than ever because we're Louisiana strong.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Office of Tourism.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Starting trouble? No one likes that. We can get you set up for the warmer temps ahead. Let's start with a free battery test. If you're just in need of a charge, we can help with that too. And if it's time for a new battery, we've got replacement batteries that fit your needs, starting at just $79.99. That's what makes us America's number one battery destination. Claim based on data from the NPD Group 2019.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Today's pros need today's tools, and nobody understands that better than the Home Depot. Our app makes it simpler to get supplies ordered and delivered. Our online project calculators cut guesswork and last-second supply runs. Job site delivery puts what you need where and when you need it. And rental puts the right equipment in your hands, but not your overhead. That's how today's pros get more done. New tech, new tools, old-fashioned hard work. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Can neither confirm nor deny, but I will make up that Daniel Salerson does the entire Pelicans pregame show while wearing sunglasses and may even do the postgame show while wearing sunglasses. D. Salerson's the way to follow on Twitter. Daniel, how are you today?
I'm great, and I can confirm that is accurate.
Well, there you go. This happened last night.
Anthony Davis trying to walk off that ankle. Looked like he twisted his right ankle a little bit. He actually fell into the scorer's table. Free throw by Marcus Morris is good. 9-4 Clippers. That Davis Michael turned his right ankle when he wedged it underneath the scorer's table.
That somehow turned into back spasms. Thoughts and prayers for him. Thoughts and prayers for LeBron. He won't be healthy in the playoffs. Daniel, I love this. I love this. Every day, games matter. We just spoke with Corey Brewer earlier in the hour. We talked with JD in the first hour. The NBA got this right. They better not change it. I like this because it makes every game mean something. And the opponents for the Spurs and Pelicans that they're playing over the next 2 weeks, they need to win as well.
You know, the drama is simply amazing, Gus. And now you have to add Sacramento into the mix, who's just now a game back of the Pelicans and play San Antonio tonight. So not only are you adding the 11 teams chasing, but they're still in the Western Conference. The 12th team is still very much in it, but you have drama at the top of each conference. You have drama in the middle at 5, 6, and 7. you still have drama at 7, 8, 9, 10 in the West because Golden State's trying to keep Memphis out of there or trying to get to Memphis. So even trying to get to that 7-8, which is so important because you can lose the 7-8 game and still have a shot at getting in. But if you are at the 9 and 10, you either win or you go home. So it's made things very interesting, Gus. It's going to be a fun week and a half.
I agree. And I think one of the things, too, that's interesting is, so I look at it from this perspective. I'm a Pels fan. Okay. I know what the Pels probably have to do. I don't even want to speak it into an existence or out of existence. You got six games left. You got to win more than lose. But when you look at the teams they're playing, we always talk about matchups and how they match up. We've seen this team beat some of the best teams in basketball, the Jazz, the Bucks, the Sixers. So they're capable of doing that, right? But how hard is it now where you don't have B.I. and Steven Adams tonight?
Yeah, it's extremely hard, and I thought Steven Adams was very impactful in the first matchup against Philly because Joel Embiid did not shoot well in that game, and Steven Adams did not want to give himself credit. He just really blamed it on Joel's poor shooting, but Steven Adams still had an impact on him, so I think that's going to be a huge challenge tonight. And yeah, but I mean, this team has faced the adversity before, the resiliency, the next man up. You've had Nikhil out, who is questionable. You'd love to get him back tonight, maybe. You've had Josh Hart out for a little bit as well, so look, you've had guys like Najee Marshall step up. You've had Billy Hernan Gomez step up with the absence of Steven Adams. There has been some guys, and look, I think they all realize the stakes that are what's at stake here in the last six games. So, you know, you can't just go into this thinking, oh, boy, it's going to be really tough. It's going to be, but guess what? It could be scary for Philadelphia knowing what's at stake for the Pelicans. They're going to be fighting for their play-in lives tonight and for the rest of the time.
It's interesting because I almost look at this game, too. It's a little different in different levels in terms that Najee Marshall just had 1 point. He's been able to show that he can score. Billy Hernan Gomez is going to play probably a key role as well as here. Somebody called earlier and asked what the starting lineup would be. I would expect it would be Hernan Gomez and Najee to replace Adams and B.I., right?
Yeah, I would think so, because the other guy that would probably start would have been Josh Hart, and obviously he is still out. So that's what I would go with. You have Ball, Bledsoe, Marshall, Zion, and Billy. But obviously we don't know what Stan's thinking. But I think that my guess would be that starting lineup that you mentioned.
All right, so let's look at those two players and how can maybe just sort of they impact it. I like what Billy's been able to show this season. He seems to flow really well, passes the basketball pretty good, seems to sort of be in sync with Zion and such. Defensively, look, who can guard Joel Embiid, right? I mean, when you look at it from that perspective. So how can Billy's impact be in this game?
I think you just have to keep Joel in the paint because, again, Joel is one of those rare centers. Well, not rare, it seems like a lot of them are doing it now, but Joel Embiid can shoot the three, or will attempt a couple of threes. He's not really a prolific three-point shooter. But the good thing about Billy, and we've seen it in other games, is he is okay with going out to the three-point line and guarding the perimeter and getting into guys' faces as far as shooting. So, yeah, it's going to be tough, but I think you're going to have to – it's going to be one of those games where Billy's going to need some help, probably trapping Joel as much, because you have Ben Simmons on the floor who's not going to shoot three, so you really just have to worry about guys like Seth Curry and their other three-point shooters really make you pay. And that's what you're going to have to do. Is it might be a night where you have to make three-point shooters pay if that's going to be the case. So with Billy, he's a guy that can get out there, and look, he's got six fouls. He got into foul trouble the other night, I think it was in Minnesota, where he had 0 points in the first half and then had a double-double in the second half. So even if that's the case, you know that Billy's never going to be out of any game. His approach will be the same. So I think he and Marshall, I think their defensive presence will be the biggest thing tonight, because of course Marshall is one of those guys that brings the energy on both floors, but you also might need Najee's three-point shooting. He's been surprisingly one of the better three-point shooters, most reliable in his last couple of weeks, and it also shows the poor three-point shooting that the Pelicans have dealt with. So it's going to be a balancing act for those two, but I think you're going to have to rely on those two a lot more than normal with B.I. out and Steven out.
I know this is going to go over real well with certain amounts of Pelicans fans, but Eric Bledsoe, he's going to be important in this game, right? One way, that defensively, if he can give you something offensively, I think Pels win if he plays well tonight.
It seems to be the case that when even Ball, if Ball and Bledsoe are playing pretty solid basketball together, right, then the Pelicans have a good shot at winning. When one of them struggles, or especially both of them struggle, it's going to be a tough time. So, yeah, you need that second-team all-defense from Eric Bledsoe to step up tonight. You need a two or three threes for him. He knows this Philadelphia team well based on his days in Milwaukee. So I think he obviously knows a good scouting report on these guys. So, yeah, you're absolutely going to need – you're going to need everyone. Look, in these last six games, it's going to be all hands on deck. Right. We saw it in 14-15. This team went 5-0 to end the regular season. That jumped them up to the sixth seed. Look, they were just trying to figure out a playoff spot, let alone get into the sixth seed. And then going 5-0 and winning at Golden State that year shows that it is possible. Obviously, it's a completely different team, but they've done this before. That mentality has happened here before, and hopefully they can kind of harness that same mentality that that 18 team had in getting to the second round.
All right, you said everyone. Are we going to see Diddy at all before the end of the season, you think?
I think we'll find out at 4 p.m. David Griffin is speaking to the media about Didi and Najee Marshall. So I think we'll actually find out if he's going to be available. Look, he's been waiting on his work visa. He has been working out with the team, but hasn't been able to play. I don't know if he's been able to practice with the team either. So I'm not sure if Didi's going to be able to play, but we'll certainly find out tonight when David Griffin speaks. But, I mean, he certainly, look, with it being shorthanded, you certainly might need him, especially on the defense. It's another guy that can give you some minutes and just play some solid defense for 5 to 10 minutes and be out. But it's going to be tough for him just not knowing really anything, whether it's offense or defense. But surprisingly, the first time in, I think, 2 weeks, they actually had a practice yesterday. So maybe that helped Didi out a little bit.
I was going to say, so this is based on a visa thing, right? And I'm just trying to clear – because some fans are going, why don't we see him? Why can't we see him? So he can't take the court until that's cleared?
Yeah, so he couldn't get his work visa until he signed his contract. And so when he signed his contract, he had to then obtain his work visa. And once that was cleared, then he can get on the court. But, yeah, that was what was holding him up. He was in New Orleans. He signed his contract in New Orleans. It was already quarantined and cleared all protocols. It was just a waiting game with that work visa.
I just want to make sure that fans understood it wasn't, COVID. It wasn't an injury. It wasn't, you know, anything of that nature. Got three more minutes here, Daniel. All right, so Corey says defense. I asked him, what's the key to the game? I said defense. What do you think, even more specific, is it a stat? Is it defensive rebound, offensive rebounding? Is it defense? Is it steals, blocks, runs? My key is you can't – I want to see more of a game like you saw that first meeting – where whoever won the quarter didn't win it by more than a point or two or four at the most. You can't have 10-point differential quarters, I think, if you're the Pels.
Yeah, for sure. You can't get off to a bad start. Philadelphia, we've seen it before, that it's a tough place to play. And if you get off to a bad start, it's really, really hard to recover. But in that last game against Philly, you crushed them in points in the paint. You had over 70 points in the paint against them. Which was really big, or at least it was 60 or so. I know it was a very high number that I'll verify later on, but nonetheless, points in the paint I think will be a big factor in this game. And if you can hold Joel Embiid, you're not going to hold him to that, but if you can come close, that would certainly be one key. But I think getting guys potentially in foul trouble, attacking like Zion did against Minnesota, getting three guys out, because he might not be able to rely on your three-point shooting. So, because that's an obvious key, is just making more threes. But I think on the offensive side, is attacking the paint first, starting inside out. If they can do that and then maybe hit a couple threes to make the defense have to alter their plans a little bit, I think that might be the best way for the Pelicans to leave Philly with a win and start the road trip off on a good note.
Pelicans Sixers, 6 o'clock, 5:30 pregame. 8 o'clock tonight, Nuggets and Jazz. 9 o'clock tonight, Knicks and Suns. And on ESPN, 9 o'clock, Lakers, Trailblazers. You got games everywhere. You mentioned Spurs and Kings at 9 as well, so enjoy the Pels game. You're staying up late to scoreboard watch or watch the game on ESPN and see what the other games are doing. I love this, man. It almost has like a March Madness sort of feel, you know?
It absolutely is. Going over the scores is probably one of the funner things I get to do during pregame and just telling people what games to watch. But also, if the Pelicans win, I'll definitely be watching those games. But if they lose, I don't like the scoreboard watch because I just don't like to see other teams gain some ground on the Pelicans. So my determining how much basketball I watch after the game will be based on what happens between 6 to 9 o'clock in Philadelphia. But it should be a good one. Look, this is what the Pelicans asked for. This is what they wanted. They wanted to compete for a play-in spot come this time of the year. Those were the expectations. And look, you're six games away and still 1.5 back. So all you can ask for now is this team to finish strong and see where they can get them.
All right, 5:30. We'll hear Pelicans warm up as soon as you hit a button. Does Joe hit a button? How does that happen?
Yeah, Joe hits a button and magically gets the broadcast going across our radio network, and then I put on my sunglasses after I buff them for 30 minutes.
Yep.
And then I get going. It's like I'm invisible when I put those glasses on.
Aviators like, or Wayfarers? You know, are you like the Joe Biden aviators here? I mean, are you more like the wraparound sports Oakleys, like an Atlanta Brave outfielder? What kind of shades are you going with?
I think the Wayfarer kind of one. Okay. Sports sunglasses. They're a little bigger for my small head. So it may not really match, but definitely not in aviators. I don't think I can pull those. I'm not cool enough to pull those off, Gus.
Yeah, aviators do not look good on me as well. That is not true.
I tried them once and I said, no way.
Yeah, I'm more of the rimless kind of Maui Jim. I like the rimless shades, man. Anyway, man, pleasure, dude. Go rest. I've kept you way too long. Go. You're going to be on the air in, like, not even 3 hours. See you later, bud.
All good, man. Anytime, bud.
Yeah, for sure. Quick break. Leo Haggerty next on ESPN New Orleans.
Video poker players know there's a difference at Cash Magic, a big difference. At your local Cash Magic casino, you'll have fun playing the newest games while enjoying our fast and friendly VIP service.
Cash Magic is my lucky place. They really do make you feel like a VIP.
It's time to have fun, so let us make you feel right at home with our fast and friendly VIP service. Come feel the magic today at one of our 9 Cash Magic casinos in Southeast Louisiana, including our 2 newest locations, Cash Magic Galliano and the Royal Flush in Houma. Louisiana's favorite place to play video poker. Cash Magic.
You'll always be a VIP. Cash Magic.
Must be 21 or older. Valid ID required. Gambling problem? 877-770-STOP.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
Hey, you should move over. Red Right Return.
Right, Red Right Return.
No, just Red Right Return because you're...
No, I'm saying Red Right Return, but then right to agree.
Okay, but you're on the...
I should have said correct. I know it's Red Right Return, but...
You're on the left and it's Red Right Return. Red Right Return!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive has you covered as a leader in boat insurance. Get a quote today at progressive.com.
Oh, I was on the left. Right.
Please stop talking.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Leo Haggerty, Sports Magazine. Sir, how are you this week?
Another day in paradise, Gus, on the right side of the grass.
I know. I know how it works, man. That is for sure. That means you're around and kicking. I love it. Leo. Lots of talk, almost ad nauseum. Like I'm hoping Monday I turn on Get Up on ESPN and it's not about Aaron Rodgers. Like every segment, every hour, it's Aaron Rodgers. First Take, Aaron Rodgers. Why is this such a big thing? Other than the obvious that a team that went into the NFC Championship game for 2 straight years wouldn't have their starting quarterback. But if he were to sit out, I'm asking you this: would it open up the NFC even more? Or do you think it's right now Green Bay, Tampa, Tampa, Green Bay, 1 and 2?
Oh, absolutely. All of a sudden, the balance of power shifts. And see, Gus, the whole thing here is, and this is why everybody's interested, if he forces a trade, all of a sudden, now the player has a little bit more power than the team. And you may start to see some clauses in contracts now that, okay, we're going to guarantee you money only if you do this, 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 and this. And I just amazed that Green Bay didn't see this coming. After last year, and I think everybody's getting it wrong. Aaron Rodgers wasn't upset that Jordan Love got drafted. He was upset that they didn't get a wide receiver to help him out. And
Then they go the same route the first two rounds this year. I mean, it's like, okay, just tell me you want me out the door. Because they're assuming, and you know what about assume, Gus? It makes an ass out of you.
Yeah, exactly.
When you assume that something's happening and you're not communicating, that's when you have problems. And I think that's the big problem right now, is that Green Bay didn't take this seriously until maybe it was past the point of no return.
I think one of the things that's interesting when I look at it as well in that scenario, and you're talking about players having the power and being able to do that, it's baffling to me because we got to see, and I guess perhaps a very rare example, which I'm kind of surprised about, because Russell Wilson complained about the same thing in Seattle. An incredible relationship with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, because we talked this past season, it was rocky at times with Arians and Brady, or at least it was perceived that. I legitimately think Leo and Tom never complained. Tom was like, coach me. I want to be coached. And Bruce Arians coached him like a normal player. I don't think it was rocky.
No, it wasn't. It was a coach-player relationship. When you do something good, you get a cookie. When you do something bad, you get a spanking. And I can remember after one game, Arians came out and said, my quarterback has to play better. That's all. That's all he said. And everybody said, oh, he criticized. Well, guess what? I don't care who you are. You're going to get criticized if you play bad. And, yes, everybody down here made it out, oh, now their relationship is broken. No. Players have thick skin. You can't mm-hmm. play this game and not have thick skin. And Tom Brady's got the thickest of them all because he had to deal with Belichick for 20 years.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's the thing that's going to be interesting, I guess, when you look at some of those other possible players that can do that. How many you think they are? Because this was something else I heard this morning. How many players do you think in the NFL legitimately have that kind of power to sit out, demand a trade, get things done? I mean, Russell Wilson's 2-time Super Bowl participant, 1-1 MVP candidate. He didn't get traded. As a matter of fact, Seattle didn't even, and you know, really, it wasn't nearly like it is right now with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. So I would even say him. I'm trying to think of another player that has that kind of pull.
Patrick Mahomes, just because of the money he has now. And right. People say, you know, well, he'll lose that. Well, think about what he has. And again, you got to understand the dynamics of playing quarterback in the NFL. All of a sudden, you drop back to pass. Now, this is the worst position in the world. When you see film from above, you see everything. The quarterback sees very little because he's got Volkswagens coming at him, and he's got Volkswagens trying to protect him. So you're not going to have a whole lot of time mm-hmm. to figure out what to do or to escape or to get rid of the ball. So these guys are paid well for that reason. And if they've done their money right, if you've been like an Aaron Rodgers, you've been a Patrick Mahomes, you've been a Tom Brady, that you've got money. You don't have to play for the money. And I think that's where people are starting to figure out, well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't need the money. Russell Wilson may not need the money. These are guys that, and again, let's look at the wide receivers. Julio Jones, right? He may not need the money because he's been paid well. And that's just I think the other 31 teams are scared to death if Aaron Rodgers forces this, because now there's a blueprint for players on how to get out. And that's not a good thing.
Yeah, I think one of the things, too, that we'll see, and I've always thought about this with the new CBA, but they didn't ask for it, or they didn't get it in the one that just recently signed, obviously. But I'm kind of surprised that you don't have some sort of guaranteed parts of a contract. You know, I know with the amount of players, it's always been argued that you can't have guaranteed deals, but you're seeing a lot more money that's guaranteed up front in these NFL contracts than ever before. $100 million, $70 million, $60 million of those deals. I've just always been surprised by that. So, yeah, I mean, what's power? Is power money? Is power understanding that without that player, you can't win? So, I don't know. What do you think happens? Because I mentioned Russell Wilson. I think he moves next year, perhaps, right? What do you think happens with Deshaun Watson? It's kind of gone silent. You're not hearing chatter from either side now when it comes to that. And something that's not being discussed that maybe Saints fans will even have to see here with Lattimore. Does the commissioner levy any penalty on Deshaun Watson?
Boy, I'll tell you, Gus, that's the $64 question right there. And again, in this country, the last time I checked, you're innocent until proven guilty. The problem is, when you have celebrity involved, you're guilty until proven innocent because you're in the trial of public opinion. And again, I don't know if the commissioner wants to get involved until this plays out, because, Gus, look at this scenario. He suspends Deshaun Watson for the year, and all of a sudden all this stuff goes away because it's untrue. You got to just let this play out no matter what. And, you know, the Texans, what do you do now if he's convicted of something?